Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Zelda Working Title Podcast. You're listening to episode number 53. I'm your host, Adam, and here with me today we've got Alex, Angel, and Matt. What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hola.
So, have you guys been playing anything?
I just got a bunch of other games to finish, but yeah, I've been a couple games.
Which games?
I just got Crysis 2 in the mail.
For what?
For the 360. Okay. And I just only play the online so far. Because I had like an hour before I had to go to work. And
is there like a big community for that?
So far it seems like it was. I mean,
play the single player.
It's pretty fun. I definitely want to start that. I saw my brother playing that and it looked really good. With all like the, I like the little things where you can scan and do other type of moves. Like you can go to throw a grenade, or it tells you like where to be sneaky and stuff. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So wait, what is that?
It's like you have a scan mode, and it scans like the situation you're in. Like, it tells you, like, what you can do in the situation that you're approaching, I guess. And, like, if there's enemies right above you, like, below you, it'll tell you, like, if you go here, you throw a grenade down. Or you can go to the side, climb up, and super kick it.
So it basically tells you, like, strategies for killing
people. Pretty cool.
Huh.
Or you can just fucking be a douchebag and just do whatever you want. But, I thought it was pretty interesting. And I just finished the DLC for Assassin's Creed, Brotherhood, and Mass Effect 2.
Cool.
And also got Halo Reach, which was alright.
You didn't have that before?
No, I got it. Yeah, I wasn't really interested in playing Halo again.
Interesting. Well, you should play with us. Do you still have
it? Yeah, I still have it. It's part of the beta I was in, so.
Oh, right. Cool.
I just wish that
cool.
That disc was not so ugly.
Well, were you gonna try to resell it?
No, I just wanted something that looked nice.
A disc? Disc? You don't have to see it once it's inside the...
Yeah, but like when it's out, it's just this fucking ugly green disc that then says Halo Reach Preview.
Then just print...
Do not sell.
Paint over it.
I don't feel like...
Just make a sticker.
I think it would be nice if they just would have sent it from the... Whatever.
They didn't want people to sell it.
Yeah, that's what I figured it was.
Just put some perfume on it. It'll work out fine.
That's it.
Make your Xbox smell nice. Matt, what have you been playing?
I spent the last couple days... I played about 20 hours of Mass Effect 2.
Ooh.
Nice.
And beat it.
That's enough to beat the game. I was like, 20 hours, you're probably pretty much done.
No, I spent about 29 or 30 hours in the game.
Cool.
Doing all the side quests and everything?
I did almost everything.
Yeah.
That wasn't the first time you played it, was it?
It was.
Oh, really?
I watched Nick play through most of the game already, which is like a reversal of what we did with Mass Effect 1. Mm-hmm. But a couple months ago, I bought it on PS3, and now I've had a lot of free time, so I played through it, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's much better than the first game.
Yes.
I mean, I already knew this, but playing it again for myself, I did things my own way, and is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I saved everyone at the end. Nobody died.
Nice. Good job.
Even though Tally wasn't loyal, I managed to not get her killed.
How do you not make her loyal?
I let Legion send stuff back to the Geth.
Oh, okay.
And she got mad at me and unloyaled herself, which... It sucked, but oh well.
The only thing I didn't like about Mass Effect 2 was the thermal cliffs.
No, I didn't mind those eventually.
In the beginning, it was annoying,
because
but like...
In the beginning, they don't give you much ammo.
Yeah, they don't.
It's weird.
Yeah.
But then, like, at the end, when you think they would not give you much ammo to make it more difficult or something, they just throw ammo at you.
Yeah,
at the end of
but then also the clips get for the guns get better, and it just becomes a rape fest.
Right.
What did you play as?
Yeah.
The soldier?
Just a straight soldier.
Yeah, I'm doing a femme shepherd on Mass Effect 1 on soldier.
Oh, it's really easy.
So hard.
What?
It's so hard. No, I'm just saying, so hard to go back to Mass Effect 1 after being so used to Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
Because the combat is so much slower, and like it takes like minutes for your powers to respawn.
Yeah, I know.
It's so weird.
The system in Mass Effect 2 is just so much improved. Like the way you can just toggle on and off ammo types, and just all the different powers you can get, and how quick they are.
And I kind of felt like I was stupid again, like when I started like equipping shit. And like I felt like I was like an idiot. I didn't know what I was doing because I was so used to how Mass Effect 2 did it, where like you really don't have to do anything. Like I kind of do like the fact that you can change your ammo types, regardless of like it having to take up a power or anything. But like I like how Mass Effect 2 did a lot much better for the fighting and everything. And it's such an overall better game.
Yeah, I mean
the story not so much. I wasn't a big fan of the story, but. The game
Mass
mechanics.
Too, the story is great.
I mean,
it's just a bridge between the first and third, right?
That's exactly what it felt like.
The meat of the game, though, is
it's just you fetching
your squad
and
getting to know your squad. I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
But I mean, my complaints of the game are the mining system is such bullshit.
Yeah, that was dumb.
I can't believe that you have to do that.
And then,
if you want good stuff. It's so boring.
I've been told that it was better than the first game system.
No.
What? There was no first game system.
No, the mining system was a side quest. It was just like a stupid thing where it didn't affect anything in the game. Oh, it was just another, like...
Yeah. Oh, you just drive around and
what is it in the second game?
Pick up shit.
Basically, scan the entire fucking planet. It's so annoying. And then it isn't until Lair, the Shadow Broker, that you get reports sent to you about which planets have good...
Yeah. Oh my god, Lair of the Shadow Broker is amazing.
Yo, it's so good. Especially all the stuff harking back to the first game. So great.
Oh my fucking god. That game's good. That mission's great. And the who the Shadow Broker is really cool.
Yeah, that was really well done too.
Is there...
But yeah, overall...
Arrival was kind of not that great though.
Is there a version of the game that comes with the DLC?
The PS3 version.
Yeah, it comes with everything except for...
Version?
No, not yet.
No.
Probably not ever.
That sucks.
Yeah.
But I hear they're doing the interactive comic book for both 360 and PS3 versions now.
Cool.
For Mass Effect 3.
Are they coming out at the same time? The two versions.
Probably. I think so. I mean.
So, has everyone here beat Mass Effect 2?
No.
No. I beat the first one, and I have to finish. I want to have my Shepard finish off as a soldier. Before I play the second one and transfer.
Yeah,
the data.
I'll give you some tips for Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
Do everyone's loyalty mission
before you play before you go through the main story.
No, no, no. Do everyone's loyalty mission before you get the you go after a IFF or something. I forget what it's called for the collectors.
Yeah.
That's where you get your last party member, and it's also. What kind of triggers the last events in the end game.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't do everyone's loyalty mission before that, you won't have time.
Yeah.
Okay. So before you do the IFF, make sure everyone... You won't have one squad member, but everyone else has to be loyal at that point if you want them loyal.
Is it like the first Mass Effect where basically you can not play the main mission and just play all these side missions?
Yes. But what the great thing is you don't have to do the side missions. You can beat the game, and then you get the choice of starting a new game plus, or actually, the first time I think I've ever seen this in an RPG, play after the end of the game. Like, everyone will be like, oh, we beat the bad guy.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and then you can just do all the side quests that you didn't do.
Because I thought you could do that in the first one, but then I was disappointed to find out that no, you could not.
No, you could do a new game plus.
No, you can't.
Right.
Yeah, every other RPG I've ever played... has done a new game plus, or you continue from before the last boss battle.
Uh-huh.
But because of the way the last boss battle is set up, it wouldn't work, so they just let you play after the end.
Super Paper Mario Brothers. The one for the Wii. That did that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that one lets you do that too.
That one lets you do that too.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
I never beat that.
I think it did.
Yeah, it does. And you can actually, because you lose the little butterfly guy. But you can actually get him back. You can actually get back a robotic version.
Huh.
This is cute.
Yeah, see, more games could learn from that, because I don't like having to do all the side quests that I want to do before the game ends in a lot of big RPGs, because I feel like most of the time they're not as interesting as the main story, and I just want to do the main story.
Yeah.
I try to do everything I can, like, aside from the story, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did for all the Mass Effect games. I tried to do everything.
Well, yeah, but the great thing is now you have the option, and you can just go through the story and then do all the side quests after.
Yeah, but then so at that point, like, because you get all the experience and all the money and all that stuff, so like it adds up, so like it makes the final boss battle easier. That's why I do it.
Yeah,
true. But if you don't do that stuff, that means that you have a reason to play after you beat the game.
Yeah,
right.
Well, I think the reason they made it that way is so to. It'd be easier to incorporate the DLC.
Exactly, which is why I never played the DLC in Mass Effect 1, because I didn't really want to play through the game a third time.
Alright, well, Alex, have you been playing anything?
Portal 2.
Cool. So, what do you think about it?
Good. Oh my god, I love it.
Did you beat it yet?
Huh?
Did you beat it?
I'm almost done with it. I've been really busy at work, so I haven't had a chance to...
How long?
Yeah, is it longer than the first one?
It's longer than the first one.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
It's basically three or four times the length of the first one, at least a single player, because it's broken up. It's broken up, I think, into like 7 or 8 or 9 chapters.
Okay.
And in each of the chapters, well, there's like 3 areas of like testing. So
wow, that's crazy.
Like 3 areas of, like 3 sections of the game involved quote-unquote testing, just okay. like you did in the first game. And then yeah. and then there's a couple areas that link up those 2 testing areas, if that makes any sense.
So basically it's like the first game, so drawn out longer.
But you know what? Like, that doesn't do it... Describing it that way doesn't do it
a
disservice. Valve does such a great job building character and making you care about these guys. The little orb computer guy, Wheatley, is so funny. Mm-hmm. And they got he was also in. Well, you guys mentioned his name last time.
It's Stephen Merchant.
He's so Stephen funny. Merchant. He's real. And
yeah, he's hilarious.
J.K. Simmons is in it. He's a voice.
Oh, really? I love him. He's amazing.
And he's hilarious. Like, his character's absolutely fucking hilarious. And the person that does GLaDOS is absolutely great, too. And she's so vindictive. Basically, because you bring her back to life, and she's just so fucking vindictive. Like, she'll just constantly be making fun of you the first part of the game when you bring her back. She'll be making fun of your weight. You know, stuff like that. Like, very petty and, like, vindictive bitch. Like, oh, God, such a great character.
But have you done the co-op at all?
Not yet. I want to do the single player first, and then I'm going to go into the co-op when I have... I have a couple friends that... One of them is going to pick it up next week, or sometime this week, and the other one has it already. He's starting to play the co-op already, and he finished the single player. He spent an entire night playing the single player. I think he finished it in 9 hours.
Nice.
That's not bad.
Yeah. I finished Modern Warfare 2 in like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I finished it in 5. I'm veteran.
On veteran,
in like
yeah.
5 hours.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
It was short. It was good though. I liked it.
It was okay, but like this is really satisfying. Like, I want to go back and play the game again to see like there's and of course there's a lot of little things I think I've missed. And just like in the first game, they have like a developer's commentary, so you can run that while you're playing the game and hear what they were thinking. You know what they were doing while designing the game.
That's awesome.
But, okay.
I think they also did that for Half-Life 2 eventually.
Yeah, they've done it for all their games since Half-Life 2.
Okay. I still have to...
It's really cool.
I still have to do Episode 2.
You haven't beaten that?
I beat the first episode, and I got really tired of, like, Half-Life 2 is a fun game, don't get me wrong, but, like, it gets a little bit drawn out.
Oh, Episode 2 is great, though.
Is it a lot better than the first one? Episode 1 was a little bit disappointing.
No, it's a lot better.
Okay.
It's great.
But, like, I love Portal, and Portal 2 is just that much. It's so clever. It's so clever and so funny.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Half-Life.
I tried playing the original Half-Life, and I'm like, oh fuck it, I can't do this. It's
yeah. I meant Half-Life 2. I tried because I rented the orange box and I tried Half-Life 2 and I just couldn't get into it. I don't like games where I can't aim down a sight. That's one of my pet peeves.
No, I love Half-Life, but
Portal 2 was amazing. Yeah, it was amazing. That was a great addition.
And the thing is, it's amazing that they could take basically four characters. One of them is Silent. In the case of Portal 2. In the case of Portal 1, it's you and the computer.
Yeah, it's just her, basically.
And I don't know who does whoever writes the stories for that series. they do such an amazing job because you start caring about these fucking characters. You know, it's a computer and a silent protagonist. In Half-Life 2, there's a whole body of people that you sort of recognize, and Alex Vance is hot. In Portal, it's like this lady, you know, lady with a computer voice. You can tell, like, this could just be a puzzle game, but you get really enamored in this whole thing. Like, you start actually caring about it. But yeah, Portal 2, amazing. Probably game of the year.
Yeah,
I don't know, Uncharted 3.
Except that Skyrim, Uncharted 3, and Mass Effect 2 all come out at the end of the year.
We'll Mass Effect 3, goes. Yeah.
It's going to be a good year for everybody but Nintendo.
Well, yeah.
Well, I mean, Nintendo's...
Unless Skyward Sword comes
but
out.
But Nintendo's shipping, like...
Maybe.
Oh, wait. I forgot the colors in Skyward.
Nintendo has already... What was it? I linked it on the board, but they're still... In the month of March, they shipped 23 games over a million units. So 23 million, there were 23 games on that list that they shipped.
And all made a million?
More than a million for that month.
Were they all Nintendo or just, like, some of them were Nintendo
published? All 23 of them were Michael Jackson's The Experience.
It's basically, it was just one game with one song. It's each one of his hits.
I think it was 23 games. I don't know if it's... I think it's Nintendo published.
It can't be.
I can put that link up. Let me see. Let me just double check.
I mean, it could be. I mean, in How March... didn't Pokemon White and Black come out March?
Yes.
Trying to think what else came out that was important. Let's see. Top of my head, that's the only thing I have.
23 published games. Yeah, exactly. 23 Nintendo published games ship more than a million.
I'd be interested to know what those games are.
A ton of Wii Sports, Wii Sports Resort, New Super Mario Bros.
Oh.
Wii.
I thought you were released. Yeah.
Okay. No. Life. In
just
March,
that month.
In,
okay.
In just
you.
That month.
Yeah. They okay. shipped 23 of their franchises. Yeah,
23 of their franchises shipped more than a million.
That's
fucking
more
ridiculous.
Sense.
It's absolutely.
They just made $23 million on like games that have been out for like years.
Not even that, right? It's 23 million times $50 a game.
50. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Minus or a lot 22 of money. 22 million because Wii Sports comes with the system.
Yeah. Nintendo is not hurting financially in any way, shape, or form.
But I don't think... Yeah, they're not doing bad.
No,
they're not doing bad. I'm glad. I'm actually happy for them. I always rooted for them, the little guy.
All right.
Yeah. I have a question real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What is the best game... to play?
Farmville.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to play... Guys, I'm playing Farmville. I just ordered it, and it should be here soon.
Okay. Perfect.
What system?
Macintosh.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got it.
Jaguar.
It doesn't work. It's far too advanced for the Jaguar. All those animals and plants and people. All right. Adam's News Hour.
What have you been playing, Adam? Wait, Adam, did you say what you were playing?
No, I've just been playing Smash. Pokemon and Brawl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same old stuff. Upcoming games, we've still got all those Reader Rabbit games. Jurassic Park got delayed. Actually, I don't know when it got delayed to. Back to the Future Episode 4, and those are all on April 30th. Didn't look for new gaming releases this week. Do you guys know if anything exciting came out this week?
Dark Spore.
Okay.
Ugh.
That action RPG Spore game.
What is that? Ugh.
I don't know.
Wait,
nobody
cares. That's a new Spore game?
Dark Spore.
Yeah. Dark Spore.
Well, it's just like...
It's Spore, but your screen is just black the whole time. They've ramped up the difficulty.
It's like, you know,
black people.
Yeah, there's like Barbie and then African American Barbie. Spore for
Tyler
black
Perry
people.
Presents Dark Spore. It's the chocolate news of Spore.
Bringing it back.
Yeah.
All right.
David Alan Greer.
Some Nintendo news.
A joke that no one gets because no one cares.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know if anybody even listened to that.
Remembers Chocolate News, though? Like, that show was on for a day.
It literally was on. It was on for... It was like an hour slot. It was on for 45 minutes before it was pulled.
Okay, guys. The audience has fallen asleep. We're pulling it. Nintendo.
I thought you were talking about our show right now.
Star Fox 3DS is going to have gyro controls in addition to the circle
pad
controls.
Wait, so does it mean that when I eat my gyro, it...
Yeah, it's pronounced Euro.
Sorry, it's going to have Euro controls. European controls.
Oh.
Yeah.
So Swiss chocolate.
There's an article in a Japanese magazine that had some pictures of the main character in a village from Pokemon XD Gale of Darkness, which was a GameCube game. And it seems to be advertising it for the 3DS. So people are thinking that for whatever bizarre reason, they're going to be remaking that game for the 3DS.
So it's going to be Gale of Darkness
remakes are really cool.
XD 3D.
Exactly.
Remakes are awesome. If you just remake a game in 3D, it's automatically good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
I'm just pissed that the Last Guardian and remakes for Ico and Shadow Colossus got
pushed
back.
Right?
I cried inside. Delayed. Yeah,
they're never actually coming out.
Why did they delay the remakes for those? Though I can't imagine it taking too long.
Because
for them
they wanna release it like before The Last Guardian comes out.
How much longer before The Last Guardian comes out?
Yeah, why wouldn't you just
not
release
it
right now?
Because this is actually before Last Guardian comes out.
Yeah, they want to release it after it.
How much longer did they release the God of War disc before God of War 3?
I think it was
months.
A few months,
I think.
I mean, if you release it too far in advance, then people are going to lose interest. Not lose interest, maybe. But they're not going to, you know, be hyped about it.
You're assuming that people are going to be hyped about something just because they re-release something.
Yes. That's
okay, when
works.
I heard they were making that in HD, I was really hyped.
Yeah.
Because I love Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, but it doesn't make you want to get The Last Guardian even more?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
No. I mean, the fact that they're remaking those other two games, would you have gotten Last Guardian regardless of them remaking Shadows of the Colossus?
Yeah,
but
replaying
the
previous
game
two games
shit,
in HD with achievements is definitely going to get you very excited for the game that you don't have yet that you're going to get.
Wait, I'm sorry.
So then...
Less...
Okay, if they remake every Call of Duty game in 3D, it will be the best game.
Right, and then you'll be excited for the next one.
Not really.
Exactly. No, I think it works. It works somewhat. I don't know. I don't fucking
know.
I just,
it's an advertising ploy.
Yeah, I just think they should just release it now so that people can actually wait a little, you know, because...
Okay, it's Team Ico. It's amazing that they're even talking about a game that they're releasing. Usually you don't even know about their games.
Because also Ico...
Very true.
Ico in and of itself is really hard to find for the PS2, right? How many people actually play the game?
Yeah.
Like, I figured...
I played it. I love that game.
Yeah, I never played it, so I don't know.
Because I hadn't even heard of it before.
But I haven't played it yet.
I heard of Shadows of Colossus, but I hadn't heard of Ico before.
Right.
I heard of Shadows of Colossus. Yeah.
So by, I heard by of that Ico, time, was, I just wasn't intrigued.
Ico was one of those games that I picked up for really cheap used, like a couple of years before Shadow of the Colossus.
That was lucky.
And I think it was one of the first games I got for my PS2. Or maybe it was... I don't remember. But I got that game. I loved it. And Shadow of the Colossus was great too, but has too many technical problems to play now.
I still like it.
A game... It's great, and I loved it back then, but I've always liked Ico more because Shadow of the Colossus has the worst frame rate that really distracts me.
Yeah, no, it's really bad.
I don't mind a game with bad graphics, but a game with a bad frame rate, it's the same reason why I can't play any N64 games, because they all have terrible frame rates that I can't get past. I can't play.
Speaking of frame rates, segue... Ocarina of Time 3D can run in 30 frames per second instead of 20, which is what it did on the 64.
Whoa!
Interesting.
That's a lot of frames. That's more.
I know.
How are
they
going to fill in all those extra frames?
That's a good question.
They had to sell Miyamoto's blood.
They just dropped it on it. It's just like. Psst.
Those extra 10 frames came. They're all from
the 3D
different games. So sometimes those extra 10 frames, he'll be Mario.
You're gonna be slipperily playing Sonic. Other games. You'll be playing Sonic the Hedgehog while you're like, "Wow, this seems really familiar." Spin dash.
Ideally, you know, 10 frames. You'd block it into threes, so you know, 10 frames would be a different game every time. It's the way it keeps it fresh and
it's math
and fun. The whole
was
whole
N64 games normally 20 frames per second.
I have no idea.
Was that the standard?
Probably. Have you gone back and played N64 games? Because they're unplayable. They make your eyes hurt.
I did Mario Party, and that's about it. And that's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not that bad because that's
Smash.
Different. But like Perfect Dark,
I played Smash. That wasn't so bad.
Smash is pretty slow.
It's
well.
Wait, Smash on N64 or on Wii? Because Wii's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Smash
on Virtual
Console. Virtual Console is it different? Like, because I've actually played.
Virtual Console is completely fixed. Yeah.
Wait, it's fixed. It's fine, right?
It's a faster frame rate, is what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember playing Majora's Mask, and that wasn't like destroying me. It was fine.
Yeah, the Virtual Console ports are all have better frame rates and. Higher resolutions and everything. They're really good.
Cool. Mario Kart 3DS is supposed to be coming out before the end of the year, according to Miyamoto. The new console is going to be playable at E3. Iwata says Nintendo wants a new approach with the console, whatever that means. And
hardcore.
They also said that it is coming out in 2012. So there
they
want
to hit the ultra-casual market.
They want to hit the dead market.
Oh.
Because there are a lot more dead people in the world than live.
They've noticed, so they're going to reanimate bodies and create zombies.
So that's their
to
new
play.
Direction.
Yeah.
Their new direction is to create a zombie.
I see.
They've actually been looking into T-viruses.
Okay.
Well, no. They've teamed up with the Ghost Hunters. And they're looking to provide a new experience.
But the Ghostbusters?
Ghostbusters are bullshit, okay? Ghost Hunters are real science. They go to places.
Real science.
That's insulting to me. Okay, let's move on.
Tubes. They've got holy water.
Do they have vampire killers?
It's not official.
Nothing is vampires. Come on.
Ghost Hunters.
Sony
man.
Announced
real.
Two PlayStation tablets. Those are kind of interesting.
Really? How about work on not getting your shit hacked?
Yeah, well, that too. One of them one of them's like an iPad sort of thing, so it's just one big screen, touchpad, everything. And then the other one is a dual screen, so it folds open and you've got two screens, and they've been showing like for example, games that you would play, you would have a touch screen, like D-pad and buttons on the bottom screen, and the top screen would be displaying whatever you're playing.
So you could put
I saw a cell phone that was like that.
What'd you say?
Really, really confused by why Sony's coming out with tablets.
That's just weird. But I saw a cell phone that was like that.
Tablets.
Sorry.
Because Apple.
Well,
is
the weird
it.
Thing yeah, is that they're using the PlayStation name under it. Because I mean, Sony does more than just
video games.
But
that's what I mean. PlayStation tablets. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand what their approach is here, but it looks like bullshit. Like, why wouldn't I just get an iPad or something?
They just like losing money, apparently. It's just something they're fond of. They're like, you know what? We got a taste for how it feels to lose a lot of money. Let's keep this going. Let's
just and the iPad.
That's how they feel alive.
Or no, sorry. The PlayStation tablet is $1,800. get them now.
You got you know what? They're worth it because you should just work for it. Wasn't that what they told us about PS3?
Yeah. Well, that's don't pay your bills.
Don't pay for your health insurance. Get a PlayStation. Get a fucking PlayStation tablet. Because you know it's worth it.
It'll protect you. It's got built-in turrets in it.
If you get it now, we promise we can put a down payment by your taking your firstborn's soul.
Because it's worth it. Remember, it's worth it.
Because it's worth it.
It's worth it.
Maybe it's you.
It's worth working
Maybe
for.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
It's worth working for.
All right, so going back a bit, did you guys see that Valve is thinking about not doing exclusive single players in their future games?
Yeah, I really want to know. They haven't really expanded on it.
So basically, what they were saying is that with like the success of the multiplayer for Left 4 Dead and Portal 2, that they may in future games only have co-op, like no one-person campaign.
Right.
I don't like this.
They may do that, and it depends. I mean, do they really mean that?
I don't know.
I think
I thought it's.
I think it's going to be something that
seems strange to me.
I think it's something they're going to entertain, but it's not something they're going to adopt. One of the things that they mentioned about Portal 2 was originally it was not supposed to have portals.
Mm-hmm.
So. It probably is some sort of idea they're throwing around, but they're probably not. They might even just do less single player games. But I mean, they haven't released a Half-Life game in a while, so I can't imagine them doing that with the Half-Life 2 series.
Maybe they'll go like the Resident Evil 5 route, where like you have a partner with you at all times,
yeah,
no matter what.
No, and they'll offer single player, but it's broken and unplayable.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, it's what they'll do. And I hate that. I hate forced co-op. There's no need for that.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine if... really, the problem with Resident Evil is that they didn't say it was co-op only. They're like, yeah, you can play it single player.
Yeah.
And then you try
then
to play
you have
single
a fucking
player,
moron.
And it's impossible.
I don't think that'll happen. I mean, they're smart enough to do it. Like, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, Alex is pretty much your partner, right?
Mm-hmm.
She provides support, so they're going to be smart enough how they do it. If they do it, they're going to do it correctly.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I mean, Valve's a great company. Who knows?
Will tell. Okay, that's it for Adam's News Hour.
Thank God.
Let's talk about achievements. Exciting.
Okay.
I was going to say, did you guys talk about the Resident Evil games last week?
No.
What about them?
The new ones that were announced?
What?
Wait for Nick to be on a podcast.
Oh, okay.
What we're going to talk about today is influential features of this generation. So, three that I just thought of off the top of my head. Xbox Live, motion controls, and achievements.
I like the Xbox Live camera, so I can see people masturbating as I play Uno.
Mm-hmm.
I think that
Perfect.
Was great. That was a
very,
great
very
me.
Influential. It's going to go into the Xbox 720, as we all know. It's going to be built
right.
in.
I don't even think that camera was just one of those gimmick things where, just like the Sony camera, where they just had it and then they didn't do anything with it.
Yeah,
you could take.
Put my face on my character in Ghost Recon or whatever, and it was creepy.
Right. Take your picture and put it on your license for Burnout.
Yeah, that's I had that in Burnout.
Yeah.
But I used a regular camera. I had my. My webcam for that.
Nice.
And I like how that you could take a picture for your gamer avatar, gamer pick thing, but you could only your friends could see it in case you took a picture of your dick or whatever.
Alright, well, we talked about online a lot last time, so I feel like we could either skip that or we could elaborate on it.
Might as well elaborate
on it.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the influential part... influential part is not online, because online's done for. but it's the way that Xbox Live presented it, where it's like...
It's become just massively popularized.
Yeah, and Xbox Live is the best... Microsoft is the best hub system, or although Nintendo's is pretty good, although it's not as integrated to the online. They have got a nice menu. But Xbox Live is pretty great in terms of finding new stuff, sorting, but it takes forever to sort through the things.
I think it takes longer with Nintendo's setup. Like, I like on Xbox Live how, like, everything is in the dashboard and you can get to it, like, really, really quickly.
Yeah, that's cool, but I just feel like the way you have to sort through things and you have to go through it by letter, I don't know, I feel, maybe it's just because there's so much content, and also, I feel like they have way too many, like, blades or whatever. Like, there's 800 categories. I feel like there just needs to be stuff on your Xbox, stuff on the marketplace, and then your friends. Like, there's so many of those little lists.
Yes.
A lot of the time, I just use, what's it called? Just like when you press the Xbox button. And you go through that menu. Like, I use that more often than using the dashboard itself.
Yeah, I use that a lot, too.
Yeah.
Especially when you're buying... Because it shows, like, when you need DLC for stuff, it's related to your game.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Makes it easier to access. So I just don't like when you're actually at the game.
Yeah.
And it shows you all the stuff that, like... Like, I was just looking to update Castlevania HD, and that shit has, like, all the DLC that came out for it, but also has, like, the gamer picks...
It's all under
there, and it's annoying because you have to sort through all that. It's like easily like 40 things that, I mean, for no reason too. Like, I just want the add-ons. Like, they have to find a way to make that.
You can't sort through it. It's all just listed.
It's just they have it like, oh, it's by game, but you have everything here.
Right.
And they, like, you know, the announcement trailer. The gamer picks, the alternate costumes.
Gets me. Who the fuck gives a... Who cares about the announcement trailer after the game's released?
Yeah, they should take this shit off.
Like, oh man, Castlevania. I wonder what the announcement
That everyone has, like, you know, at least put that to stream or something. No, don't make me, like, you have to download it first. You can't just watch it. You have to download it.
I know,
but anyway, like, I'm pretty sure they'll fix that.
I know this is a bit off topic, but
yeah, and also,
like, Steam does actually a good job with their hub too now.
Oh yeah, Steam's got a great hub, and it loads faster now. Oh, and by the way, guys, Steam works on my Mac now. So
good.
Did it not before? If anybody wants to play,
it didn't. It had a problem with my external drive, but now it is. It's working.
Cool.
So if anybody wants to play Counter Strike against me, I'm available.
I'll get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Boom!
So anyway, I think the Xbox's hub is nice and it feels connected, whereas the Wii and the PS3's hub are not as connected, but they're also not as clunky,
because
the Xbox Live one takes forever to load some things. Like, your friends list, for some reason, to load all their stupid avatars, it takes... You know, as long as it takes to load people in PlayStation.
Really? Because, like...
Does it?
PlayStation, I think the one thing I don't like about PlayStation is the trophy. Like, when you sync up to check your other friend's trophies. It takes so long.
Oh, I've never done that.
Oh, really?
It takes a long time.
It takes a long time. Because it basically syncs up, and, like, it's, like, up... So, if you haven't updated your shit in a while, it's doing that at the same time, too. Like, they had to find a way to make that, like, always, I guess, constantly update no matter what.
Like, how do they do it? Do they, like, for PS3, do they, like, save your trophies only to, like, a cloud and not have anything on your local system that you can just pull up?
No, it's on your local system, and then whenever you access anything that's, like, internet-based, I guess, it syncs up with their system, I guess, with their mainframe, whatever.
So then how does Microsoft do it? Like, why is theirs so much faster?
I think it's that they're constantly updating no matter what.
Well, I think Microsoft's is... I don't know. It seems like the PlayStation Network, I mean, obviously has problems
as
we know from
dead.
The we didn't even talk about that. There's a fucking week and a half long outage.
Yeah, so if you're not aware, the PSN has been hacked.
We're going through the great PS3 debacle of 2011.
Yeah, right. So it's been...
I wonder if by the time this goes up, it will still be
probably
going on.
What has it been?
Well,
nine,
I hear back in 08,
now?
Like...
It's been a week.
It's been like... It was 2 weeks
I think
for the
it's been
Xbox.
More than a week.
Did they get
it's
hacked,
been,
too?
No, it's been a week. It went down once.
Yeah,
okay.
Once, yeah.
No, I mean...
Oh, that's right.
Microsoft's also went down for a week?
Yeah, in 2008.
That was in 2008. Yeah. It went down because of too many people. But the thing is, it did not go down for everyone, and it wasn't down all the time.
And then
time.
Didn't Microsoft give everybody
I remember
like
during
a free
that.
Week or free 2 weeks of Xbox Gold?
Right. But, I mean, during that, I was playing occasionally, and it worked yeah. occasionally. And also, nobody's account information
yeah.
was stolen.
No, yeah, of course, it's not the same, but so, it's... But like, there's a lot of people like bitching and moaning, like, "Oh, again, I can't play my games or anything." Like, yo, relax. It's not that serious. But like, the
chill
information
out.
Aspect, like, no. It's not cool. That is not. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
And I actually read. It was funny though. Like, I read that some guy already had the lawsuit signed up, like going
no,
a class
no.
action lawsuit ready to go.
For what?
And like,
though?
Some kid put a for I don't know. That's a funny thing. So like, some kid like put a comment on Kotaku, and he's like, he just put like a scenario of the court. Of the actual trial, he's like, judge's like, so did you get any information stolen? No. Okay. Did you pay for this service? No. Okay. Then why the fuck are you here? Because I'm thinking, exactly, because you pay for free, nothing happened to your information, you don't have a lawsuit.
Yeah,
you're just basically suing because you didn't get to play Portal 2 online.
But anyway, it sucks that stuff like that can happen, and it again shows the weakness. Although Xbox Live and PlayStation Network provide a cool service in a way, I have internet in my house.
Me too.
It's not like my internet's not out.
Yeah.
It's that I have a system that is online capable, but only going through this third-party service that can just go down.
Can
which
you,
really sucks, and it
can you still use the internet browser on your PS3?
No, you can't do anything. No.
Really?
Yeah, you can't.
You can. Some of the Netflix UIs work.
Yeah,
but some of them don't. But
so it really is all through PSN.
Yeah,
but what,
I just hate the fact that I wanted to buy this the DLC for Resident Evil 5 because they had a sale for like half off. You get both DLCs.
Oh no!
I can't do that. I can't do that now because the fucking douchebag hacked the network and brought it down.
That sucks.
And Sony brought it down, sorry.
Alex, were you going to say something?
So, isn't there a PlayStation Gold membership kind of thing? A paid membership?
Yeah,
PlayStation Plus. Yeah.
What happens to those people? I mean, they're down
same
too
thing.
Also. Because they're actually...
Yeah, they're fine.
Because they're actually paying for a service.
I'm sure
yeah.
Sony will give them some kind of like discount or like however many weeks for free or something.
Yeah,
maybe
they have,
I'm surprised
everybody.
They haven't
cool.
said anything already. That's sort
well,
of the point. Well,
they don't really know anything. I mean, they just found out like today or yesterday.
They
like,
know that
how
they've
much
been down.
Information was stolen.
They know that they've
right.
been down, but it's surprising that the company doesn't come out and say we are going. Not only are we going to try fixing it, people will be. You know, there will be some sort of reimbursement.
They really haven't said anything. They've really been really.
That's actually a really shitty company to not say anything.
Yeah.
Especially if you're
a senator yelled at them, basically. A senator wanted to find out why they're not communicating with customers. Like, why they're withholding information. Yes. I thought it was funny, because senators, really? You're going to talk shit about somebody else?
Well, because they got, yeah, they got nothing better to...
Sony...
They got to find out where Obama was born, so...
It turns out in a hospital. Sony is not good at talking to customers. For some reason, they, instead of taking the blame or saying it was a hacker at first, they're like, oh yeah, well, we took it down to make it better.
Did they say that?
As if that's supposed to inspire confidence. Yeah, huh. They said that.
Interesting.
That
wasn't
like
this supposed to be an Adams News Hour?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Well, it does tie into the... Although all this Xbox Live and the internet is an innovation... look at how bad it can be and how bad it can reflect on a company if that stuff goes down. Whereas, you know, if Steam goes down, that would suck for playing games on Steam, but you could still have other games on your computer that you could play online. You can still get the internet because you have.
I think we asked about this. I asked about this earlier before we started the podcast. How much information does Steam actually ask you before? Of course, if you're buying a game, you have to put in your credit card information, and that's usually that's probably secured through another company, I'm guessing.
But yes, and it also, I don't think it saves it, does it? I mean, Sony saves it, and Microsoft, you can't not save it.
Yeah,
so
I think how Microsoft does it.
I think you can save it, but I don't know where
it's saved. I'm sure you can, just for quicker access to buy
stuff. Yeah, I don't know where it's saved to, though. And the other issue is
I can't really imagine it's saved in the same spot as like your username, your password.
I mean, the other issue
whatever
is
else.
If it's your birthday, if that's the information that's being taken, right? Because I don't know if Steam actually asked me for my birth date. I was looking through my profile and I couldn't find where that information was. So maybe they didn't even ask for anything like that. But if PlayStation
don't
asked
they
for a lot
have
of personal.
To?
That's what I'm wondering
for
about.
M-rated games?
That's what I'm wondering about. Or if they might just have a kiosk that says, are you over the age of 18?
Oh, I'm over 18, yeah.
You know, which that would also be pretty good, too.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really weird how this stuff works on the PlayStation, how they won't... They make you use their online service, and... People, I mean, the complaint here is that the online service went down, but people are like, well, you don't pay for it, so you can't complain. That's true, but it's a service that's promised to us, kind of, by selling us games that are online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That you need
that
to
you can only
online.
Play using that capability.
Yeah.
Right, so... It's a different thing if you, for some reason, are... Like I said, if you lost internet access, then of course you can't blame Sony for that. But if you're able to get on the internet, everything else is working except their service is down, and you can't access the games that you have physical copies of, and you can't bring them online to do the thing that's supposed to do, it's kind of terrible to then not even give your customers a reason, a time frame... An apology, anything.
No, just keep it in the dark. It's just terrible. That was just a terrible way of handling the situation.
It's a very... It's not surprising, unfortunately.
It's not surprising giving Sony. Sony's fucking retarded when it comes to dealing with customers. But what is surprising is that it has been down this... I don't think anybody expected it to be down this long.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think the reason they said is just because they're rebuilding the entire system from scratch, I guess. To make sure this shit doesn't
happen.
Which
is great to know that they don't even bother to test it. And they're like, oh, we had all these flaws. We better fix them. And they're acting like they're doing us a service. It's like, shouldn't you have
said
not built them with these flaws or tested them in the first place? Because apparently there was this whole big backdoor way of putting money into your PlayStation account without actually having any money in it.
Really?
Oh, really?
Wow.
For testing purposes. Yeah, and that's... That's another thing they discovered that they're fixing now.
Jeez.
So there's Jesus a lot of Christ. Shit that they should have not had in there that was in there.
So
that
instead
now
of
now they're fixing.
I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. Instead of worrying about like all the firmware issues, like all the firmware they keep updating because every fucking week I get another update on my PS3 when I turn it on.
Yeah.
They should have just been focusing on the PlayStation Network itself and fixing that. And right. This is actually the culmination of that.
Yeah, they're definitely in a very bad spot right now. Because they've the PlayStation 3 got hacked, and then PSN got hacked, and it's just bad.
But,
technology, guys.
Video gamers.
Technology.
Yep.
Video gamers win out in the end.
Internet.
So, online, yes. For future reference, we want online that doesn't this shit doesn't happen to.
I mean, you know what, and I feel sort of bad for Sony because this kind of stuff does happen. It's sort of, it's not so much the bad stuff that happened, it's that how Sony handled it, I think, is really the problem.
Yeah.
Right? They could have definitely handled it a lot more maturely. They could have not been completely keeping people in the dark about it. They could have been fucking honest about it.
Exactly. They're like, oh, we don't know if it was.
We don't
like,
know. Yeah, we don't know what the hell the problem is.
We don't know what the problem was. Well, we don't know. It took them 2 days to realize they were actually hacked.
Right, but I mean, think about it this way: who is the face of Sony that you see interacting with customers? Because Nintendo has Reggie,
Kevin Butler.
besides the joke Butler. Character created for an ad, but yeah. And then Microsoft has whatever his name
Major
is,
Nelson.
Major Nelson.
Yeah,
and people like that on their side. Sony has nobody.
It's Kaz Hirai.
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck that guy. He's a businessman who sits there and tells you about the graphs in their E3 presentations.
And giant like, enemy not, crabs.
You don't feel like he's fit to give you news like on a personal level.
Well, that's because he's no because on the 360 you get like Mayor Nelson's like fucking news Major. Hour or news minute.
Right.
Minute. So like you don't have that on the PlayStation Network. You don't have like
right, that, that's like, what he's saying.
Streaming video of all time.
Yeah, which they should have, because they have no dialogue with their customers, and no way of feeling like... I mean, that's how you get people coming back to your service, or...
Yeah, they or, no sense of community, except other than home.
Right, which right? is... Yeah. Yeah.
Basically, home. Like, comes to home is... Basically, home is what the dashboard is.
Kind of. It's again kind Sony's, of. Sony's way of trying to
yeah
to
attempt
make a community.
It yeah. From what I last time I was in there, like I remember, like they had trailers posted up everywhere.
Yeah, I guess.
So like it was their version of the dashboard. You can also join games. You can
right.
set
it
up
is,
games.
I think it's like I think Matt just said it's more of like a community. Than the dashboard, because I mean the dashboard is like it's pretty much a community built in, but
yeah.
with the PSN like the XMB and home, they're kind of like two separate things, right?
Yeah, which
yeah
isn't what Sony wanted, because they wanted home to be like this is the place you go, and that's why I remember they were gonna. I don't even know if they ever went through with their idea of playing games from home. I know you just mentioned it, but did that even happen?
I know for when I have Resident Evil 5, I used to launch games from there with me and Laura used to play.
But I think you had to have the disc in there. So basically, you were just like there really wasn't a lot of point to doing it.
Yeah, no,
to have the disc in the PS3, go into home, and then launch the game that you have in your system from home.
Yeah, it was dumb. It wasn't something.
Right, and home takes so long to load and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was really actually really yeah. There's no point to do that.
And the cross-media bar, which is Sony's way of, I guess, saving money on design by using the same thing for every one of their systems, is nice-looking, but it looks like a TV menu. It doesn't have any of the community features of Xbox Live or anything. Or even
well, it does notify
the friendliness and bubbliness of Wii's thing.
Right. But, I mean, it does notify you when friends go on and offline, which is more than the Wii has.
Right, well, we obviously much more primitive, but it still feel like the Wii dashboard thing.
The Wii is the most isolated in terms of community, for sure.
Yeah. Isolated in terms of community, but it's memorable, and it's really easy to navigate and figure out where things are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Xbox Live is very integrated with all the online stuff, a little bit less easier to navigate, but it has a strong feeling of community.
Right.
PlayStation... Even though you're online, it most of the time it doesn't feel like you're online, and you have to go like exit that thing to go into the PlayStation Store, which sometimes takes a long time to load and kind of sucks for actually really sucks for finding things.
Yeah.
And going into home, which takes forever to load, and isn't really useful for anything. Mm.
Well,
so is that an innovation? Is that innovating anything, or is it just something? Are they going to be able to build from that, or is anybody going to be able to take these examples and make something better next generation, or are they going to wipe it all clean and start over again?
Well, I think like they've started to integrate more like PC social networks like Twitter and Facebook and stuff, and I think just what the future holds is like more of that.
But that's not so more. There's like, no reason to get a new system for it, right? That's something that could be done with firmware updates. That can be something that that kind of stuff does not depend on a new processor, for example. You don't need a new system in order to have a new interface.
I mean, what they can do is make it so it it'll actually tell you like certain things while you're playing a game. Or like they'll make it so like you can actually just like put the game on pause, get out, go into like a dashboard, do update your status, some stupid thing, and then go back to the game, which will probably need a little bit more processing power than they have now.
You can do that with the 3DS.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you probably need
But you don't need a whole lot. You don't need a whole lot of processing power to do it. That's what a PC does all the time.
Right, but consoles are not PCs. Yeah. I mean, you need more horsepower.
Consoles pretty much are PCs, right? If the thing has 7 cores, it's going to be able to do something like that. Unless it's devoting
the game is much different. Like you're running higher games that use more processing power or more GPU power.
Right. I mean, that's the only thing that the consoles are doing is graphics. So like to be able to suspend a game and then go to do something else, it's going to take. You know, maybe they can do it now. I don't know, but it's going to take more power than just playing the game.
Exactly. Yeah, you would need it would justify having a new system. Is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think that is going to be an innovation. But what I mean,
it's not important. I mean, I wouldn't give a fuck if I could do that.
The question is what are the companies building off of? Like, I mean, what innovation is like? You innovate. You create new ideas and then everyone kind of builds off those ideas. Yeah, and not just, I mean, with Sony, what are they going to build off of here? Because it just seems like they're going to have to just, it's so bare bones that they're just going to have to come up with something new next time. There's nothing to really build off.
Then what about Nintendo? At least, you know, Nintendo still has those fucking friend codes. You know, to deal with. Like, they don't have...
Right, Nintendo is so... They don't even have an online system. They barely
I can't even, like,
system.
Begin to imagine. I feel like it's back, like...
I feel like the Nintendo online system's like what the, like, the PlayStation 2 was like. Like, where, like, certain games, like, SOCOM had their little dedicated servers and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But then Microsoft has a great online system that has a lot of lessons to be learned from, and I think that is Sony's definitely going to copy.
Yeah, I think so too.
I love Xbox Live. I love the way it's laid out and how quickly you can do stuff and all the little notifications that are like instantaneous. But yeah, I mean, I would be happy if Sony and Nintendo maybe not copied it exactly, but at least took. Examples from that and built off of that.
I just want whenever I press the cross medium bar
because that sucks.
Yeah,
but you see, you're already asking to have that kind of attitude is sort of disingenuous, right? I understand why you
Which
have
attitude?
To pay. I understand.
Oh, paying.
I understand why you have to pay for Xbox Live to a degree. If you're paying for the hub, you're paying for the upkeep of the hub. I understand that, and to that extent, I also understand why Nintendo and Sony have more bare-bones systems if you're not having to pay for the online that they supply for you, right?
Okay.
It's understandable. It's understandable where that money is going. Now, for Xbox Live, I don't understand why the ads are still up to pay for it, especially when you're paying an astronomical amount per month just so that you go online.
Right. It's understandable why Sony's system is more bare bones, but it's eventually going to become unacceptable that it's that bare bones, and people would rather pay some kind of fee and get something better than what they have now.
If you were to use whatever hub they gave you, to use something like Xbox Live... In and of itself, that would cost money. But then to play the games, if you purchase a game and you want to play that game online, if you want to play like Modern Warfare online, you don't have to pay just to play the fucking game online.
Yeah.
Like, I wish you were given that option. And that's more of a PC kind of thing, right? That's more the idea of if you have a PC, you purchase the game. The game, that $60 that you pay will also include the online, so you could just go online and play. You can go right through Xbox, or you could go right through Call of Duty. So if Sony's system shuts down on you, you could still play the fucking game without having to resort to
Right, exactly. That would be the ideal system. Playing games can be separate from the hub would be the ideal system. Like, the hub would still be able to be integrated with games by taking your friends into games, but also you could just go into the fucking game
and
play it online and not worry about
the game.
I don't know, because Xbox Live doesn't let you do that either. So,
well, that's the point.
How...
Xbox Live won't let you do that, but that's sort of the take-home of why I don't want to use Xbox Live. Like,
I mean, at that point, I think just, you know, you would have playing games online being one thing. That would be free. You didn't have to pay anything to do that. But the money that you would pay for the service, the hub, would go towards, like, all of the media features, like Netflix and ESPN, and just being able to, I don't know,
But then, like, you're already paying, unless it's already included in the fee.
Right.
Then it gets into that kind
and
of
that's
payment
something,
argument.
That's something that would be fantastic if, you know, the $50 just gave you a Netflix account instead of having to pay, you know, for Xbox Live, for Netflix, for whatever other services
you need. There's no way, though.
The
way, I don't think Microsoft is going to change that system. Because And you know what? Because people already buy into the system as it is. Because it works.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
people are
works.
Pretty happy with the... That, you know, this goes back to the PC argument. PC gamers are pissed. They won't take, you know, the idea of having to buy maps is ridiculous for a PC gamer. For a console,
right? And that
for a console gamer, it's the norm, right? You guys are more than willing to pay for $30 for 5 maps or whatever the cost is for like a Gears map, right? They have a map pack and you pay some money for it because it's an extra feature to it. But if you talk to a PC gamer, that's like, fuck, I never had to do that before. Like, the first time I heard that, I was like, that's a little ridiculous. That's sort of...
Yeah, and the other thing about that is that Microsoft won't let, like, Valve release maps for free.
Yeah.
Their updates that they try to do for Team Fortress, Valve Microsoft's like, you can charge for them, but you can't release them for free. So,
why? I don't understand why not.
Because Microsoft makes money off of it.
Oh, of course.
Because it's not just about Valve making money. It's not about that at all, because Valve doesn't want to make money off of it. It's about Microsoft charging.
Yes. Well, let's talk about motion controls, shall we?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why? How did that happen? Why is it so popular now?
Well, I mean, it was a gamble by Nintendo. It works. It happened because of Wii Sports. That's it.
Now, I may be wrong, but the reason, I think maybe the biggest reason I see for the Wii's popularity is that the media caught on to it, and it just exploded, and everybody, like every single person, knew what a Wii was. They knew Wii Sports, and it was just something that people were familiarized with, and everybody got one. So, like, you know, if your mom had a friend who got one because her kid wanted one, she'd be like, ooh, now I want a Wii too.
Well, that's the thing. Is it made people say, video games, you're doing something in video games and it's translating to a real world skill that you already have. And, obviously not that exciting.
It's less imitating or intimidating than using like a traditional controller to the mass, right?
Right. And the mass media, the moms and dads and stuff like that, saw it as something that didn't exist before, instead of the A button translated into swinging. Like, that's all it really is.
Say that again?
The A, you know, instead of pressing the A button, you're swinging your arms. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. To us gamers who have already been playing games, we get that. I mean, obviously, that's what's going on. But to somebody who is intimidated by video games because they see a controller with a bunch of buttons on it, and unrelated things, you press a button and an unrelated thing happens on your television. Now it's you swing and your character swings. It's like a revelation to somebody who doesn't play video games. When, like I said, to us, it's no big deal. So I think that caught on somehow. I don't know if it was the media or just word of mouth or probably a mix of both. And
I think it was more. I think it's something word of mouth caught on to the point that it got adopted by the media, and then it even exploded even more. But it's not even just the fact that that thing exists, right? That idea has been around for a little bit. They've been doing that for was it the Power Glove was like abysmal.
Yeah.
So the real thing, you don't just need an idea. You need a functional idea, something that functions.
Yeah, works. And we.
Yeah, I remember seeing like an ad for like a thing you put on the floor and you can actually like fight.
Right. Was like, that do for you like
play
the,
your fighting the games with them?
Genesis maybe.
Yeah, right. For the Genesis, I believe. I remember hearing about that.
Worked, and it had enough variety to entice almost everyone. And another thing was the Mii's integration into it was really neat, the way you could have yourself in the game.
Yeah.
But it's not like a super serious depiction of you. It's a cartoony, nice-looking version of you. It was like this perfect storm of ideas that just were appealing to everyone. I mean, we all enjoyed Wii Sports too, right? I mean, it wasn't just the people who weren't familiar with games. It was just like even the people who didn't care about motion controls or weren't excited about it liked that game. That game was enough Nintendo to sell all the systems. Billions of systems.
And it came
exactly
with it.
Yeah.
So really, you wouldn't have people saying, "Oh my God, I have to buy this really expensive system plus a game." I mean, you buy the system.
No, you have people saying, "I have to buy this expensive system and then buy a controller."
No, but I mean, it came with a controller and nunchuck. So I mean, you bought the system and it came with everything you needed for that motion control experience.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
essentially, people saw it as you pay $250 for one game. In some ways, that's what everybody saw it as. Or at least they paid $250 so that their kid could play, but it came with a game that they could all play by themselves also, and then wanted to play.
Yeah, and they didn't mind.
And they didn't mind because it was, especially compared to what else was out there. I don't think most adults still don't really see the need to get HD. They don't know what the difference is.
Mm-hmm.
They have a very hard time. You know, my parents have an HD TV, but they have to pay extra money in order to get the HD channels, and they just like the large size of the TV, and they don't really see the difference.
Right. Yeah.
And even for me, HD is nice, but it's not enough for me to want to get an HD TV. Or, you know, it's not like I'm not missing out. I don't feel like I'm missing out a whole lot. I know there's a lot of people that say otherwise, but when you haven't really been around it a whole lot, it doesn't really affect you too much.
Right.
As compared to if it's like a black and white television versus a color television now, it's like that's a big difference. But for the Wii, I mean, there was also forced adoption to a degree. You know, you have to use that controller. There was no other control. In fact, the Super Nintendo-like controller, the dual analog classic controller, was the accessory. It's not the standard.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that the Wii Remote works so well to be right out of the box, that definitely propelled it.
And I mean, the reason why it was popular though was Wii Sports, and I mean the reason why it was an influence this generation is because it's way easier to go, "That guy's successful, let's copy that," than to go, "Hey, shareholders, here's all these new ideas that we haven't tested yet. Hopefully they make money." And so it's easier to just rip off a proven idea than it is to make a new thing. So that's why all the consoles now have motion sensing controls. I think it will extend to the next generation. It's really hard to tell right now whether people will care.
Like we were saying last episode that, you know, the casual audience, I see like they're becoming a little less interested, but they definitely are still interested in the Wii. But it's going to be difficult to I guess, like, maintain or even recapture them with this new system, unless Nintendo does, again, something just totally, like, mind-blowing that you can't do with the Wii.
I can't...
Yeah, I just don't understand what's going to make people want to upgrade their Wii.
But you know what? 5 years ago...
Casual market.
5 years ago, that's what I mean. 5 years ago, we had this discussion about what the hell is the controller going to look like, and we had all these fucking stupid ideas what the controller was going to look like. And then we finally saw what it was. You saw how derisive people were, right? There's no way to predict what Nintendo thinks is not how gamers think. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a good thing for Nintendo's part. They can't compete against it. They can't compete against Microsoft and Sony. There was no way they would have been able to make an HD system and sell it, because they'd have to make something. They'd be astronomical in price. And they had nothing to sell for, right? I mean, it makes sense now.
Yeah, no, it after the the GameCube just not doing
well, I think it would have
N64 debacle. You know, they couldn't, they really couldn't.
I think it would have sold, but it definitely wouldn't have sold as much as the Wii, because with the Wii they've got an entire new audience that's even bigger than the audience that they already had.
I think you're giving them way too much credit.
For what?
Because I think what would have ended up happening is, if they tried doing Microsoft or Sony's move, they would have had to build a system that was at least $400, $400 or $500 that they would have had to sell.
Yeah.
Right? And it would have just been, it would have either tanked, but they would have just gotten swallowed whole.
They would have needed to make more better games.
There was no way. Imagine
they would have done that then, and then with the online system they had going right then and there, it would have been horrendous. It would have been fucking just terrible.
I mean, part of the reason why they have the online system as they have it now is because it's really easy to use. Because the audience isn't for hardcore gamers. The audience is mostly for little kids and for anybody over the age of 30 to 35. Mm-hmm. Right? And for those people, they don't need Microsoft's elaborate Xbox Live. They just, you know, you want to click on something, you want to pay for an old game, you buy the old game and you play it by putting it sideways or getting a certain controller for it. That's exactly the audience that they want. As much as we might not like that, that's not where they're making their bread and butter right now. In fact, you mentioned in the board, well, Nintendo's losing the hardcore. There's no real... They never really lost them. It's just that the hardcore's annoyed at them that they're being ignored. But the next time a Zelda game comes out, it's not like people are not going to buy Zelda.
Right.
Right? How fucking ridiculous is that? How fucking ridiculous is that? Either.
So who's going to buy a system for just one game, then?
You never buy the system. Never even buy the system for one game, though. Most people haven't sold their Wiis. It's collecting dust. That's really...
I know a lot of people that sold their Wiis.
Yeah. I gave mine away to my mom.
And then when Zelda comes out, you're not going to play it. Or are you going to take... are you going to do? You're somehow going to get your Wii back. You're somehow going to end up playing that game somehow, in some way.
Okay, honestly, compared to all the other games that are out for the 360 and the PS3, one game not going to... If I were to sell my Wii, I won't buy another...
You're right in the fact that the hardcore Nintendo people will obviously come back to, like, Mario, Metroid, Zelda, all those great first-party games, but there's just so few, like, of those hardcore experiences on Nintendo that people...
Right, but Nintendo doesn't need them.
Yeah, no, exactly. Okay, so you're right. What's going to make the casual market want to upgrade to HD when you have this Wii already?
Nobody knows. That's why I saw the up in the air question. Whatever controller that I think it was somebody posted on the board.
That's bullshit.
It looks fake. Yeah,
that looks just like classic controller with a fucking screen in the middle.
with a six axis motion. That's what the caption was. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. You really think they're going to do that? I can imagine instead. They're probably going to put a touchscreen on, and if they decide to do it, it's going to be a Wiimote, and it'll be a blank touchscreen. And it's probably going to be, you could put whatever buttons you want on there.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do a touchscreen.
I really
hope
they don't do that. Because
I can imagine them doing... I can sort of see them doing something like that. I don't know if it's going to
tactile buttons are far superior to virtual buttons.
Yeah.
But I don't see the other control scheme happening. I don't see them going back to the other way, playing classic control games. They're going to try doing something different. They're going to try taking another risk.
Mm.
In fact, the thing is, they can afford to take the risk.
Sure, they can.
Right? If they're still selling a million a pop for 23 games for a month,
they can afford to start, but if they make this, you know, $300, $400 new system with all this new technology, they invest all that money and then it bombs. I mean, that's bad.
Course. They don't want it to bomb, but the thing is, they can take the risk. They can still, the Wii was a risk.
But most of every single system that comes out, it's a risk, but it wasn't like this giant risk where it's going to fucking cost them a lot of money.
Right. The thing. Whatever they decide to build, they're still probably going to make a profit off of. I'm really skeptical of them deciding to make a $400 system. Which is why whenever they take a risk, it's a calculated risk. Go ahead.
There's too many unknowns to really just keep discussing this, because we discussed it last podcast too.
Too many unknowns.
I think we should hold off on this discussion until E3.
But motion controls.
They will. Green they edition. Will continue on to next generation. They are in a lot of ways an innovation, but I think more in accidental innovation than
it's more a coincidental like popularization than an innovation.
But it has led to the controls in like Metroid Prime 3 and those type of games are so
Resident
much
Evil 4.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 is so much better than
it's a new way of thinking and developing for console games.
Yeah, and that's so cool because I mean Resident Evil 4 is like a completely better shooter than it is on the GameCube. It works way better and it's more fun.
Yes.
So that's with those controls
about it.
Put to bigger budget like a game, I think it will reel in more people who are, whining about Wii being popular right now.
Well, I could see them making, if they decide to make the Wii HD like that, I could see them actually making, the next Call of Duty game. They're not going to make a skimped down version just for the Wii 2, right? They're going to have something that looks just as good. They're going to put as much development money for that version as much as the other two versions. And the only difference will probably be the control scheme. If they decide to do motion controls for a first-person shooter, and we already know it works, and we know it works really well, it might actually take off in some degree. Now, for Madden, it was a fucking joke, but for...
No, but still, I heard a lot of people, it was a lot of fun, though.
But the great thing is that you can have both with a system like the Wii.
Mm-hmm.
It has ports for regular controllers, has a classic control, or you can do it the other way. So,
and see, I think that's what they're going to do doesn't matter. We're past this.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's move on.
Last thing, achievements.
Yeah. Alex, did you want to start with this? Because I know you were very against us talking about achievements.
No, it's just look, innovate. You guys were saying before innovation was come by from accident. That's how innovation works. Innovation is not done purposefully, right? Innovation means it's a new idea that's presented, or an old idea presented in a new way and made profitable, right?
But I think what I was trying to say earlier is it was I don't think Nintendo meant for it to
get as big as...
Are we talking about motion controls or achievements? Or innovation?
No, but what I was saying earlier.
Like,
anyway.
Serendipity. If it's serendipitous, it's still an innovation.
Right.
Now, I don't think they expected it to take off as well as it did, to the point that Sony and Microsoft are trying to copy them or go that same direction. But either way, it's still an innovation.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Now, achievements, I don't think it's really an innovation. I think it's not a new take on an old idea. It's just an old idea, and they just decide to put it online.
Yeah,
because there's no real benefit to it.
Well,
it'd be innovative to put...
I agree that it's not, like, something new, but I think it's become popular because it's
popular. There's a difference between popular and innovative. Just because it's popular doesn't mean it's innovative.
Yeah, it hasn't changed anything.
Yeah, but it's been popular for a while, though. It's not like it's like this is out for a
it's
year.
It's been popular since arcades first came out. The whole reason you had arcade games was so that your little points were listed. The idea of having an achievement...
Yeah,
is,
you have the leaderboard
and the popularity
and all
of them was pretty much like absent for a few generations.
No, I think it just wasn't popular.
That's what I said.
And
the
now popular, it became more
popular. The popularization
yeah,
was absent, not the achievements.
Right. But it's not... I mean, achievements aren't really a new thing. They're not really... It's not innovating because it's not change. It doesn't change anything.
I think
but
if...
What
I think if... If they actually offered something with the achievement, so
no, I think the implementation of the achievements is what
right is because what's I mean innovating. You've got
maybe
you've,
but
the reason like people like them now is because it gives you replay value and because the leaderboards are online, so everybody can see them. It's not just like a very small local thing at this you know your local arcade.
Yeah, but that's not really changing much. That's just there's been online leaderboards for everything.
That's been happening
since
for
the
a
internet
while.
System.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any time, any
the
system.
You know
what,
I like innovations.
I just like them because, like, sometimes to get certain points, you have to do
right,
some
and that's
crazy
the replay
shit.
Value.
Like, and it's like, wow, that's fun. That's an interesting way to doing a situation. Like, one achievement for World at War was you have to. You have to like. sorry, you have to. Kill like enemies without losing any of your bullets.
Well, some of them are absolutely stupid.
Like there was one in, I think it was the first Assassin's, or no, the second Assassin's Creed, where like you had to throw a certain amount of money on the ground.
Yeah, that one, the disarm, like fight 10 people without getting killed or hit. They're interesting. They're
not really. I mean, this is self-making goals. Beat Mega Man 3 without dying. I mean, that's something that I used to do. That wasn't something.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden now
right.
Achievement.
So like
that.
I think
the problem wasn't the thing I wasn't against was you were talking about things that were innovative. The original topic was innovation, not what was new.
Yeah,
or not what
prominent,
was
right.
Popular. Right.
Yeah.
So when I was saying it's not popular or it's innovative to have an arcade
right.
system. It's new. It's not new. It's popularized. In some ways, it's pointless because apparently people didn't used to play. You know, people forgot that games used to be progress based, or they used to put arbitrary challenges together. But it's not exactly anything new. I wish they expanded upon it that you actually got something after committing the achievement. Right?
No, because that would just cost money.
Like I wish you can, I wish if you got 100% achievements in this game, you get a free game. You get a free Xbox Live game.
They're starting to do something like that. Like,
but see, I mean, that would be awesome if they did that. But I mean, people get these achievements without any other like reward. I mean, it's reward enough to get just the little pop up that says, "Hey, you got this," and these points that don't really do anything other than show that you're. You know, you play more, or maybe you're better than someone else.
Yeah, but I have a life.
I feel good about myself.
Huh?
Yeah, it's weird to me that people will go out and get, like, that Last Airbender game that a bunch of people...
Yeah,
oh,
Avatar. That's just sad. Or King Kong. Peter Jackson's King Kong. Only reason that people bought it just because it's an easy 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, people that went out and actually just bought that game just to farm, to get the... 1,000 points is sad.
Which is weird, and I don't know. I feel like achievements again tie in with this new console gamer generation that it's great that they love to play video games and love Call of Duty so much, but I fucking can't stand playing with these people. And I mean,
It's reward enough just to like get these points that don't mean anything because it's a gratification for just something, and I don't know.
It makes you a loser.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to go maybe. Brag about the fact that I have 26,000 or how, I don't forget how much I fucking have. I don't care. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, it's almost narcissistic.
Some people do.
It's
right?
almost narcissistic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it just.
It's something to brag about.
But, like, I mean, it's only like if it's something. If you did something cool. Like, most of these achievements in these games are just for completing a level, you get achievement. Mm-hmm. You
right.
take a step, achievement. Some of them are really stupid. But. There's some that are really interesting, well done, that, you know, some of them, they're hard. You have to kill, like, World of War, you have to kill a guy who was just using the pistol, which is, first off, you have to find it, and then you have to keep it through the entire game, through the entire level, and then kill the guy with the pistol, which is pretty hard to do.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, most of the reason I like achievements is because, you know, like Angel, you were saying, it makes you do different things, and Alex, like you were saying, you know, a lot of people, especially, like, gamers who've been playing games for their whole lives, they do this stuff just automatically, you know, they do it by themselves without any
proof.
Need for an award. Right, you not only do you have proof, but you have a reason for people who wouldn't normally do it to play the game even longer in order to do it, to get this achievement.
Yeah.
I don't know, I think a lot of people just view them as a way to brag.
Sure, yeah.
But also, I like, the only kind of achievements I like are the ones for beating the game, because then you can, I like seeing, like, oh, has this person beat this game? Just, like, I'm curious about if my friends have beaten games or not.
Yeah, I like that, too, but I hate when they're hidden. Like, you can't see them. I hate that.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
Like,
I think that's
just dumb.
You
haven't gotten yet?
No, not the ones you haven't gotten yet. When you can't see what, like, because it, I guess it gives away something of the story or something like that.
Right.
Then make them so they don't give away the storyline.
Mm. Yeah, I think the most annoying ones are ones where they put them in. It's just like, you have to play a million matches, or you have to beat the developers of the game. Like, really? You're going to put an achievement? That's not even achieving anything. That's just luck that you happen to run into developer of a game. How often does that happen?
I mean, or wasn't that in Halo? Or no?
Yeah.
Was it?
That's in a bunch of different games.
If you're gonna play,
in Gears, I think.
But if you're going to play like a million, like you played a million matches, do you really want somebody knowing you played a million matches?
Well, I think
some of these notes, the leaderboard sometimes
show
really
worried about,
so it doesn't matter.
Looking down on them for it.
Yeah, but I mean, is that even achieving anything? That,
yeah,
just,
you just
well, it's a way. It's a way to get people to play the game more, because for those
that's just a ploy
who
to
do
get people,
want
yeah.
to do that. I mean, like so. Say if that achievement weren't there, and you were the type of person who plays a game until you're done, like completely done, 100%. You have to get everything. So in order to get 100% on this game, you have to play a million matches.
That's absolutely
so that's
fucking
something.
No. It gets to a point. You know, it gets to a point for a rational person where they're like, "Oh, fucking."
People God. Aren't rational, though.
Yeah, some people aren't rational. There are some
also,
dumb people who do that.
Do companies really want you playing
the same game
their games for a long time? They don't. They want
buy
you to
new
buy
game.
Their next
yeah.
game. They don't. Yeah, they don't want you to play their games forever.
Hey, you know how many hours I put into Modern Warfare 2 before for the entire year cycle until
right,
Black Ops
sure
came out?
Did you play
that
game for the achievements, or did you actually play that game because it was fun?
Well, at that point, there's no more achievements. For Modern Warfare 2, there's no achievements for how long you play. It's all
right,
basically
and I'm
just
sure somebody in Infinity Ward cares, but Activision does not give a shit. If they could, they would put out a 10-minute-long game that took 15 minutes to create, sell it for $1,000, and it would come out every day. Like, that would be their ideal game.
Yeah, where like,
so
you pay for every mission.
Right, they don't want you to play their game for 80 years. Like, they want you to play their game for as long until the next one comes out.
Yeah.
Which, for a big publishing company, they come out with new games all the time. They don't want you to play one game forever.
Yeah.
They want you to play the new game.
I don't know. I just find it infuriating when they put these, like, playing a million matches. Like, there used to be a point where I had a definition of what 100% was. I set that definition for myself.
Yeah.
Now the company is telling me, to get 100%, you have to do these achievements. And some of these achievements are so arbitrary, so stupid, or so time-consuming that the only way you can get the achievements is by doing it. Then it gets to a point like, fuck that, I'm not playing. It becomes discouraging. Like, oh, I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm just going to beat it and move on.
Yeah,
you don't want to play the game.
Yeah, you do what you mostly can do and then fucking move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I usually do for like all the games that I rent from Gamefly. I get the most I can that are like within like reason, and I'm not going to go hunt. Like for Assassin's Creed 1, one of them was you had to hunt down every fucking flag in the game. No.
Yeah, that was bad.
I did that. I did it. I hunted out the flags in like the main area, and then I just stopped. I was like, you know what? This is ridiculous. I'm never doing this again.
Did you ever play? Anybody ever play Braid?
Yeah, I got Braid.
Okay, do you get the stars?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
One of them requires you to like pretty much leave the game on for like 3 or 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Literally. Like, there's a slow-moving cloud that you have to get onto, and you have to wait for an hour to get the cloud to be in the right place, and then you have to stand on that cloud and let it go for another 2 hours or so, or another hour or something, before you can get the star. I mean...
Are you kidding me?
No, I wish I was. Because the moment...
I'm actually pretty sure it's more than, like, 3 hours. Probably, like, I think it's more around, like, 10.
Yeah, who wants to leave their fucking machine on for that long?
Who the fuck... Yeah, if I were to leave my 360 on for 10 hours, it would melt.
literally, though. But, like, who the hell wants to...
No, literally, it would melt, probably.
Who the fuck wants to... Like, there's no way I want to do that. And there's no way I would... Even for me... And I... You know, I used to play fucking games till I could, like, beat them without dying. For me, that was ridiculous. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's not even really skill. Right, you just have to fucking wait.
Yeah, no, that's not cool.
Right, it's not achieving anything. It's not a personal
achievement. See, I liked Resident Evil 1 when I got the remake for the GameCube, where if you have to beat the game, you have to beat the game in another 3 hours, and you get like all the best shit.
Yeah.
Or like all the costumes, and I liked that. That was cool. Like you, it forced you to make the game to get better at the game. Or better at the glitch for the grenade launcher.
You know, Adam was...
Right, Grand Theft Auto has an under 20 hour something.
The Metroid series always had stuff like that, too. You know, if you get 100% items for the Metroid Prime series. Like, you scan everything, and you collect all the items. Which, that gets to be ridiculous in and of itself. Like, there's some things you can only have one pass on. But, the older Metroid games, so like Metroid 1, I don't know about the second one, but definitely Super Metroid. If you beat the game under a certain number of hours, you could see, like, Samus is a woman. So, like, in the first game, you had to beat the game under, I think, 3 hours? Because the faster you beat it, the more of her suit she took off. But same thing in Super Metroid. So... You don't know it's a... The only reason people knew it was a woman was because there's people that beat the game so quickly that they actually saw that, like, her whole figure.
Hmm.
But stuff like that kind of stuff has always existed. It's just they publicizing
it. Now, after you do that, a little thing pops up saying that, hey, you have that proof that you've done that.
Congrats, you have that.
Yeah, you get 10 points for that.
You get 10 points, but you also get to know that you've always done that, and that's always, like, it's down for as long as that is up.
Maybe a little bit of innovation there. I don't understand how they would build on that, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Going into the next generation, they're probably just going to carry the same system.
I mean, if they gave you something more substantial, that'd be awesome. But
I think, I think that's what's going to happen, like, where you end up getting more shit for your avatars, maybe, if they bring that over.
I don't know if they're going to do that, because, I mean, like I said, you know, just as it is now, that's enough for a lot of people, so...
Right, just as it is right now, that's barely an innovation, is really just renaming leaderboards and giving them arbitrary scores. Mm-hmm. I don't think this can be changed much, because it's an old system that they're just rebranding, basically.
I mean,
going into the future,
it seems like the only, barring graphics, and even graphics, I'm not too sure what the next, we talked about this last podcast, I don't know what the next generation of graphics, how much of an improvement we're really talking about, but because we haven't seen anything yet. But I can't imagine it being earth-shatteringly better. The only thing that it sounds like they could really improve on are sort of the motion controls.
Yeah, because that's still untapped.
The online,
I mean, that's still
controls,
not like.
And then possibly.
But even
like,
the online, right? The only thing online we want has nothing to do with the games. It has
okay,
more,
sure, you're right. You're
it
right.
has more to do with multi. Yeah. You know, making it more into a computer.
So more than. Oh, fuck, I forgot what I was going to say.
So here's Alex's subtle attempt to tell everyone that they should just get a computer and fuck consoles.
I'm not saying that. Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet.
it's more of a way of saying, I think Sony and Microsoft have a... Nintendo has a little bit more of a leeway, right? They can actually improve the graphics of their console. That's going to be a noticeable difference. They'll probably add mm-hmm. something to it to allow...
Yeah.
That's going to wow... They're going to try wowing the casual user base to get their new system. I'm going to guess they're going to try dropping the price of the system as much as they can in order to achieve all of that.
Right.
Sony and Microsoft have a harder job right now. Right? You can't really sell a new system just by saying we're going to improve the online. If you could sort of improve the online on your current system, it has to be something noticeable. But if people are so against doing motion controls, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
See, no. Here, you think all the hardcore gamers that play their PS3 and whatever will jump on and buy whatever the new Xbox is.
I actually sort of hope so. I do hope so.
Right, but that's not a growing market.
It's not a growing market. It never has been, but that's how it's always been, like, going up. Nintendo is the one that changed that with the Wii.
Exactly, which is...
It's a little bit scary in some ways.
Yeah, that's why I think this generation is going to be either very, very exciting in terms of people trying tons of crazy shit, like even more crazy shit than they've tried this generation, which, looking back, at the time, it's just like, oh yeah, Microsoft has done this or whatever. They've tried a lot of weird stuff this generation that I think this generation is like everyone had their own weird Dreamcast moments of like, you know, Dreamcast had like every weird peripheral.
That's really
like,
cool.
It's got like a thing you plug into your controller and everything, microphone and everything.
5 years ago, who would have imagined
the microphone.
5 years
no,
ago.
No, that's what I'm...
Yeah, I mean, that's...
No, what I'm saying is that this generation
is
insane. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but either next generation is going to be even more insane, and they're just going to throw everything out there. Like, Nintendo and Microsoft and Sony are just going to come up with all these crazy ideas, or it's going to be the most disappointing generation where we're going to have... it's like a better graphics. And,
I think it has to be the former, because that's just where the mentality is now. Because I mean, Sony and Microsoft and even Nintendo, I mean, they realize they can't just done. Like where we are now. You can't just improve the graphics. You have to do something else because of the casual market. I mean, it's just so big. You can't not capture it.
I don't even think it's just the casual market. I think it's also just because there's nowhere else for them to go.
Yeah,
even well, for okay. the hardcore, but you know what happened with
with
the Atari, right? There's a gaming crash when things get so saturated, and that's the biggest fear right now. The gaming's gotten so big so quickly, it has the potential to crash. And the cost of games have become so astronomical that it's become almost unprofitable to be doing it. Nintendo Horse has sort of given companies and out here by saying this is how you can actually get away with all this. I'm sort of wondering, is Sony and Microsoft, how far are they really willing to go? It's easy enough for them to build a new system. Relatively. It's always easier to improve on something rather than to invent something new. So, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I want to see E3 2012.
Yeah, everyone, email, what is your favorite innovation? Where are we going from here? Email it to...
Mobile gaming.
WTpodcast@gmail.com. What's your favorite Zynga game? Is it Farmville? Probably.
Cut the Rope?
It's a good one.
Cut the Rope?
Oh, Cut the Rope isn't... Cut the Rope is pretty
fun.
What
the hell is that one about?
Yeah, but it's more iPhone games and shit.
Yeah. Alright, we've talked about this enough.
There's no emails today, right?
No, just more people following us on Twitter, which is good. But
yes, we're growing.
Yeah, but email us, WTpodcast@gmail.com. Tell us about anything, send us pictures, send us stories, music, whatever, anything. Go to our board, ztpsocialboard.proboards.com or tinyurl.com/workingtitle. Take you to the same place. It goes to our forum. Talk to us. We're pretty cool people. We're nice. You know, whatever. Follow us on Twitter, ZeldaWTPodcast. Become a fan on Facebook, Zelda Working Title Podcast. And rate us on iTunes, give us 1,000,000 stars. Yes, and that's it. Anything else? Last minute thoughts?
No.
Silence?
No.
Okay. Then we're going to go. We'll see you next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
Take care.